Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Cinemophiles Radio. I'm your host, Steve Pisa, and today we have a great show, just like every week. Today we have the great Michael Gallen. Michael Gallen works with Hectic Films. He's one of the core reasons why we made the Lackey movie. We'll be talking about that today. We talk about the movie that he's in with Sean Piccinino, Ricky Bird, and several other people. It's called Mabel. Very interesting man, humble. Stays in the background. Great guest, Michael Gallen, on today. We'll be talking a little bit today about some of my favorite movies on right now, some of my favorite TV shows, and one of my favorite games. We're going to reformat the show just a tad bit, mostly because I'm more interested in pop culture than I am interested in just cinema. And I'm a producer, and I'm a writer, and I'm soon to direct. I've directed in college and directed an offset as well, but never any major projects. But I want to in the future. Writer, producer, and like that. It'll be great talking to Michael Gallen today on his work and how much effort he's put into and time he's put into his films. I saw how much time and work he put into the Lackey. He was always there for support. And on set, just working like a dog. Great guy. Let's just get straight into the show here. I want to try a little reggae in the background today. Oh, there you go. A little reggae in the background. There you go. So, my Netflix pick of the week, House MD. Have you seen House MD? House MD is an awesome, awesome show. Now, I know it's several years old, but it's a fantastic, fantastic show. I'm on season 8. I blew through 7 seasons pretty damn fast. I mean, I was pretty shocked. One of the complaints I heard about House was that it had a repeating theory or a repeating pattern. But this is very much like Sherlock Holmes in a hospital. All the dysfunctions with drugs and with human interaction as well as female interaction and the confusion that goes there. It's all in the show House. It's great. It went from 2004 to 2012. It was created by David Shore. Hugh Lowry plays House. Now, I don't know if you know this, but he's English. He's an amazing, amazing actor. I was watching him last night on Graham Norton's show. I mean, what's funny is that he's got the exact personality of House in an English accent in England. So it's very, very interesting. And he was making a comment that he thinks, you know, he's pretty positive that Americans know that he's not American. And I'm not so sure about that. As I was watching the show, I was pretty sure that he was American. I would never have thought that he was English. It was nice. It was very nice. Of course, Stephen Hawking, you should be able to walk, and then Hawking and all that stuff either, so I can see how information gets lost. But anyway, it stars Hugh Lowry. He plays Dr. House. Omar Epps, Robert Sean Leonard, Jesse Spencer. He's great, by the way. Robert Chase. He plays Robert Chase. Lisa Edelstein, who plays Lisa Cuddy. She's great. What's interesting about that is that they have a love-hate relationship, very much like Moonlighting, but it doesn't work out well. And you know American television, things have got to work out well. If it doesn't work out well, then the show sucks. I haven't finished the 8th season. I'm halfway through it, but so far I'm really enjoying it. And here's something interesting about the show. Olivia Wilde is on the show. Now, Olivia Wilde is beautiful. I'll give her that. She's pretty good in Tron. That's the first time I ever saw her. So she was really beautiful. I love that. And then I saw her in House, and then it brought on a different echelon, a different level, because she is an amazing, amazing actress. So Olivia Wilde, really shocking. So anyways, House right now. Now, my suggestion to you, because it ended in 2012, my suggestion to you is watch the show now because it's still relevant. If you watch the show in about 5 to 7 years, it might not be as relevant as it was maybe 2 years ago. I mean, you're talking about President Obama right now on the show, which is nice because it's a two-year-old show, and I actually thought it was older. Anyways, I loved House. House was a great show, 8.5 seasons. Hugh Lowry, great actor. Now, if you want to see him in anything else, go to Netflix, type in Hugh Lowry. You're going to find that he's in all these old English shows that are just fantastic with a great sense of humor. He's also a musician. He sings the blues, and I believe he has 2 albums out right now, which are fantastic. And I know it's difficult for people to understand, like somebody from, you know, maybe from the UK singing the blues, which is typically an American thing, but he does it quite well. House is a show to watch. So games, what games are you playing? I want to hear what games you're playing. Call in number is 657-383-1444. I want to hear from you. What games do you like playing right now? Video games. You like video games? I want to hear about that. Now, my favorite video game right now is Destiny. I love that game. Destiny reminds me a lot of World of Warcraft and Halo combined. And Zelda. Combined, where you can get gear and all kinds of really cool stuff. It's a really great game. I'm playing it right now with Sean Piccinino. And, we're both playing Warlocks. Really fun game. There were a lot of complaints about story, and the story wasn't complete and didn't make them feel good, and it could have been a lot more and done a lot. Listen, I can understand that if you're 15 or 14 years old and you stick your nose to the TV and you listen to everything and you want everything to be linear, I can understand that. But if you want a good story, a good game, good gameplay, this is it. I go pick it up. I think it's worth the $60, even though I paid $1 for it technically, because, you know, I traded in a couple games and I you know, came up to $60, so it was very easy. Anyways, Destiny is a fantastic game. So if you're gonna pick a console, let's just say you have an Xbox One and you have a PS4 or PS3. Which one are you going to pick? You're going to pick up the PS or are you going to be the Xbox One? PS4, isn't it? PS3. It's funny because I have one. I would pick up the PS version, the Sony version. If you don't have your friends on Xbox Live, I pick the PS version. Why? It runs at 1080p, 60 frames per second. 60 FPS on a video game is perfect. And that's what you have for this game right here. So pick up Destiny for Xbox One or for your PS system, for your Sony PS systems, and you'll love it. The great thing about playing on your Sony PS system is that you can play it on your Vita, if you have a Vita. I don't have a 3DS, but if you have a Vita, you can play Remote Play. It's pretty fun. Destiny is a game made by Bungie, former creators of Halo. Halo has now gone on to 321 Studios. So that's very, very interesting. So, we talked about TV shows. House MD is a show we all want to watch. It's on Netflix right now, all 8 seasons, and it flies by really fast. Meaning 2 weeks. You need about 2 weeks. The game, Destiny by Bungie, is a game to play right now, either through your PS system or through your Microsoft Xbox system. Get either or. Whichever ones your friends are playing, and you'll have a great time. Superhero news. Now, I'm a gigantic, you know, sci-fi, fantasy geek. I love it. I love sci-fi. I love fantasy. It's what I write. It's what I favor. It's what I lean towards. So what's the news this week as far as sci-fi and fantasy? Well, one, the Batmobile was released as far as images go. So a lot of us got to see new images of the new Batmobile. That's incredible. Now, the Batmobile looks a lot like Christopher Nolan's Batmobile, with a slash of Tim Burton's first Batmobile. So it's got that going for it. Beautiful. Now, if you have doubts about this movie, that is, I think, a safe concern. And I'll tell you what, I actually know a lot of the story. I actually read a piece of the script. I know a large part of the movie. I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to find out for yourself of how what the catalyst was to the film, get these guys all together. But I will say this. If you were nervous about the movie, if you were scared before and you're looking for images to just to confirm or deny, these images and the script itself is fantastic. It's great. So I think it's going to, unless they intentionally screw this film up, it's going to be fantastic. So we got to see the Batmobile this week. It's on Twitter, Instagram. Just type in Batmobile on Google. You'll be able to find it. It's fantastic. And what other superhero news did we hear this week? Well, in Guardians of the Galaxy, they actually had to skip out. The producers took out a scene of Stan Lee. At the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, you see Howard the Duck. Now, if you didn't know who that person was at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, that's Howard the Duck, by the way. That was a character that George Lucas made into a movie in the 1980s, Leah Thompson. And he was at the end. And he's the one who said, you let that dog lick you in the face. What's interesting about that astronaut dog is notorious for being a Guardians of the Galaxy. And he and Rocket Raccoon actually have a tumultuous relationship. That's a very interesting lore in the comic book fandom, if you don't know that. Is that the space dog in the space outfit in Guardians of the Galaxy was almost like an enemy of Rocket Raccoon. And the scene they took out at the end, and the reason why I mentioned Howard the Duck, was because Stan Lee was supposed to be in that cage instead of Howard the Duck. But I guess they said something like it showed him in an unpleasant light. They didn't really want it that way. They must have said a billion things that made sense at the time. Now, should they have done that? I don't know. But I'll be honest with you. A lot of times, 90% of the times, when filmmakers take stuff out of a film, it's usually for a darn good reason. Opposed to what Andrew Garfield said this week about Spider-Man 2. What he said was, when he read the script and he saw the movie, there were two completely different projects. That the Amazing Spider-Man 2, the way it started off, the way the script was going, and the way the film was filmed, and the finished project was different. Meaning that he said that the story arc was stronger, there was a theme that rolled throughout the entire film. That theme would have made more sense if they would have kept it in line, but instead producers got involved and they started snipping away. Next thing you know, you have The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I like better than the first one. But always, 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 whenever an actor complains about a film and its lack of success or the success was not there, I often think of exec producers and what have you who have no idea how to make a movie, who get in the way and start telling directors what they need to do in order to finish the project, like Mark Webb, who directed the film. And the film comes out like crap, comes out like garbage. And they wonder why. These companies wonder why they can't make fantasy or superhero films that are fantastic, like The Green Lantern, which is horrible. Directed by Edward Zwick. Edward Zwick did Glory and The Last Samurai. Now, The Last Samurai may not be your favorite film, but it still was a beautifully shot film. Glory. You can't tell me Glory is a great film? That was Edward Zwick. He directed, he also directed the first new James Bond film, which was Casino Royale. I mean, he's an amazing director. And then he does Green Lantern, and it stinks. Some of these properties are very, very temperamental, very tumultuous. So they have to be very careful around these characters, especially around Spider-Man. Now they're trying to mix things around. They're going to do a Sinister Six film. They're going to do a Spider-Man film. And then they're going to do a Venom film. So they're going to try to do basically an expanded Marvel universe because Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man. And we're going to see a mishmash of films until Marvel retains the rights again. Is that a good thing? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not a gigantic fan of it, of course. I like my Spider-Man Sam Raimi-ish, I'll be honest. The first two films, not the third one, obviously. So if I was going to rate the Spider-Man movies as far as being good, I'd go Spider-Man number 2, made by Sam Raimi. Spider-Man number 1, made by Sam Raimi. And Amazing Spider-Man number 2, made by Mark Webb. That's how I grade it. I like to grade, you know, Star Trek films as well, but that's how I'd grade this film. So very interesting superhero news this week, you know, and sci-fi news as well. Before we go on to Michael Gallen, before we go on to our guest here, let's talk a little bit about Star Wars, because we're all Star Wars fans. So the two things we saw this week were a huge built Millennium Falcon in the open. So that's what we saw. We saw that. And then we saw a TIE Fighter. Very interesting. They look awesome. It looks fantastic. And a lot of people are genuinely concerned on whether the Star Wars films are going to be good films. I would say this. If George Lucas did not make the prequels, would these movies be being made right now? And would they be as good as I think they're going to be? No. No, I don't. I think if Jar Jar Binks and that poor kid who played Anakin Skywalker in the first film, I think that bamboozle, that destruction of the Star Wars universe propelled the story in a more positive, better direction. It actually put it in the hands of people who are better in control. You can say, well, they're in the hands of Disney. That's not in good control. Disney's a pretty huge company. And I think they're going to do okay. Maybe not with, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But I think with Star Wars, with a gigantic property like that, I think it'll be just fine. Harrison Ford is back on set, hobbling along, skipping along. That break was pretty bad. That ankle break was pretty bad. For Harrison Ford to be off of Star Wars for as long as it was filmed and not being filmed, he hurt that ankle pretty bad. Most likely it was a combine fracture. But anyway, he's back. Movie's being made. It's supposed to be released in 2015, 2016. So it's coming up soon. I believe 2016. So I'm very much looking forward to it. And that's my news for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I like compiling all that news together. I like superhero stories. I like sci-fi. I like listening about it. That's what I live for, personally. I live to watch media, to listen to media, to watch it. And that's the interesting thing about today, about talking to Michael Gallen, because Michael Gallen is directly related to Hectic Films and what they do out there. And I want to talk to him about his career and what he's done with his life and what we could do with our lives to be somewhat in the same direction as him. So without further ado, let's get to Michael Gallen going here. Michael Gallen. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm here. How are you?
Good, good. So, we were just talking about sci-fi and fantasy news. We want to get on the news with you, but so I'm so happy that you joined us today. Thank you very much for joining us on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. LA time. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk about your career here. So, I met you during the Lackey filming, and I heard about Hectic Films, and it all came really fast, but I want to hear the story from you. How did this whole thing start? Because I'm looking at your IMDb, and compared to how much work I see you do, and your IMDb page is obviously not updated yet, but you work extremely hard. How did this whole thing begin for you, this film journey?
Well, basically it started, Ricky Bird Jr., the owner of Hectic Films, one of my son's good friends, my oldest boy, Chris. And I was at a party at Chris's house. I think it was a New Year's party. And I knew who Ricky was, but he was there, and he was looking for help for a film. And he said, "Do you have any experience?" And I said, "Well, not really. You know, in the film industry, I didn't know a lot about cars and things like that. I'm mechanically inclined. If you need help on the set, I can for sure do that." Had no acting experience whatsoever. Never been on a movie set. Love movies, of course, like everybody. Never been on a movie set. I believe this was 2008. And so he said, "Would you like to come aboard and give us a hand?" And I said, "Sure, I'd love to." And so the first film I worked on was a film that's still in post-production. Excuse me. fighting a little cold here.
I had a cold a couple of weeks ago. You know what's great about radio is when you have a cold, you know, it's hard to focus on an image because you're thinking purely from your brain. So that cold thing gets inside your head.
So you're
going into the film, and what was your first film that you worked on with Hector Films? Was it Trailer Park Boys?
It's called Home Free. It hasn't been released yet. It's still in post-production. What I did on that particular film was I thought maybe I was going in for, you know, like gripping or something like that, and I actually went in as an actor. I played a cop in the film. Had some good scenes opposite D.T. Carney. He's hilarious, if anybody knows D.T. If you're listening, D.T., love you. We had some good scenes, and I ended up doing a little bit of grip work, but there was already grips there. I worked in the furniture industry for a long, long time, and we did do some commercials for that industry. And so I had a little bit of on-camera experience. I shouldn't say zero, but, I mean, it's a commercial, so how much could it be, you know, experience-wise. But we had a great, great time. And if I can cliche it, I got the acting bug, and I said, you know, I just love this. And I've been with Ricky Bird ever since on every film he's worked on, just about,
So you did Home Free. And then what was after Home Free? What was the film after that?
Oh, gosh, there's been so many. I think I've done
12
or 14 films now with him. I don't exactly remember what was after Home Free.
I know.
We work so often.
Let's go to Naked Zombie Girl. Let's go to that one, because that's the one we're pushing right now big time.
Right.
What is your involvement with Naked Zombie Girl?
Basically on there, I went out as thinking I might be a zombie in the movie, maybe. I knew I was going to grip, and I ended up doing most of the grip work, building little buildings that Megan's in, you know, the little wood building you see her in. That was actually a prop that we built, me and a couple of guys. And Ricky did most of the design at home, and then we brought it out to the set and we built it. And then I did some sound work. The car in the movie is mine. It's a 71 Cadillac Fleetwood Brougham. And just a little inside information. The car was being cruel. It wouldn't start. The battery died. We actually had to push the car in a couple of scenes. So that was tremendously good editing during the film. We had to push the car. So, but I did sound, and we actually went out and we did the movie in 2 days. And I'm talking about not just, 6 or 8 hours on set. I'm talking about from like noon, one day till 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning the next day, nonstop. Nick Reisinger and Kelly Henderson are our effects people. They're second to none. And they even had some problems out there. Our lighting went out and our generator went out. And here I'm working on the generator. You talk about wearing different hats. I'm working on the generator in the motorhome to get them lights. I'm doing sound. But it all worked out. And you see the finished product is, in my opinion, amazing, Steve. Amazing.
Yes. I've seen a lot of these things. And it really is fantastic compared to maybe 20 years ago where we look back at filmmaking. Mm-hmm. It was almost impossible to get certain of these things done. Ricky Bird, I'm talking about Ricky Bird, going back to Ricky Bird, going at the Lackey, that guy worked so hard to get us those locations, extremely hard, to get those locations for the film. Do you find yourself doing the same thing as far as now that you have the acting bug, is that trying to find more hats to put on so you can get more things done? Or are you happy being in a certain category?
You know, I'm kind of happy just being in the background. I'm a low-key guy normally. Some people won't say I am when they see me, but I kind of like sticking close to home, and I do a lot of stuff off the cuff, and I stick with Hectic Films most of the time. I don't go down for auditions in L.A. or anything like that. I stay home, and I've got so many connections now just through Ricky and DT and a few other people that, you know, I actually get phone calls now. I don't even need to go looking for that stuff. Awesome. But I do love it. I do love it. So I want to stay in it. But I do like the mechanical end of it, the lighting and the set design and building. And I really like that part of it. But the acting part is kind of secondary to me.
That's not,
but I just like,
ask,
like
ask,
with the. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Like the Lackey, I was involved in a certain capacity in the Lackey, and I guess when they were shooting a scene, you know, the scene where Sean is applying for jobs, he's getting turned down, and I played, I had just a small part. Well, they didn't have an actor for that part. Ricky called me at home. I was sitting at home watching football or something. I don't remember what I was doing. And he said, hey, get a shirt. It looks like this, and, you know, tuck it in and come get your butt down here. Here's the address. You need to come help me. And I said, okay, I'm on my way. And that's the kind of loyalty we have between each other.
Right.
When he wants something done, I'm there. And that's probably why we work so well together. I don't just, I'm busy. You know, I'm going to feed the dog or something stupid. I'm there. And I did that part in the Lackey, and I feel so fortunate that he called me. He thought of me at that point. And I got to be in the Lackey, all but a small part, but, it was exciting. And, at the time, I didn't know Sean. I didn't know any of the guys. And it turned out pretty well. And I made the festivals, and, man, what a good time.
Oh, that was a great time. What I like about you is that I've talked to so many people, and a lot of them are very young physically or young mentally. And as wise as people can be, a lot of times people feel this pressure of age. I'm too young. I'm too old. You know, I should have been here by this time. I don't get that from you at all. I don't get this feeling of, you know, I got into this too late. I should have done this earlier. I don't get that sense from you. Am I right on that?
You're exactly right, Steve. I got into the game at 45 years old, so it's never too late for anybody. You know, I didn't go down, early and expecting to. I never gave acting or any of that stuff a thought ever. Like I said, I was in the furniture business for a long time, and I come from a family of mechanics, so we're all pretty much mechanically inclined. I worked on furniture, I sold furniture, I built furniture, I've done all that. And it just seemed to kind of transition when I got the call, or I shouldn't say got the call, when Ricky asked me to come on board to do some stuff for him. It just seemed so natural. But my age, I don't care. I'll be 52 in December, and, if you know me, I'm gray. I don't color my hair. I have a gray beard. The age part doesn't bother me. Of course, I'm not as spry, and I can't lift as much, and I can't, I've had some back problems, and I actually did have open heart surgery a couple of years ago, aortic valve replacement, and that kind of limits my ability, or it should, and it does. But I'm still able to get off and do what I have to do, and the people that are around me know that I've had those problems, and they help out, and they say, no, don't touch that, don't do that, let us do that, here, give me that drill, let me lift that. So I get a lot of help.
That's awesome.
Fortunately, we have a really good team. So
yeah,
the age part, I don't care about.
So
I'm good.
That's awesome. So if we're staying on the age thing for just a tad bit, looking at your future right now, what do you want from what's happened? Because obviously this is all, you're doing one thing, your activity is setting you in one direction, and then the universe says, nah, I want you to go in this direction.
Right.
What do you think after that? Do you start thinking about your future in that direction as well? And now that I have these opportunities, what are my choices, and where do I want to go from here? Or are you just are you just happy being part of the project? I doubt that. I think you want more. But what is it that you want out of films?
Really, I'm comfortable in my own skin, and I enjoy just basically doing what I'm doing now. And, you know, like I say, at my age, the age part doesn't bother me, but I'm not looking to be a movie star. I'm not looking to work down in Hollywood and those things. I mean, that's interesting to me, of course. I would love that. But if right. it comes, it comes, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm pretty much comfortable what we're doing here. Every time a movie comes up, we've got several projects in the works. I can't really say what they are at this point, but Ricky and I and the team have some projects coming up that are very exciting, and one of those, you know, when we get a chance to tell you guys about that, we will. But no, I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing. If it comes, it comes. If not, I'm fine with that too.
Nice. Well, let's go on to the film that I was watching screenshots of you all last year, which was Mabel. So Mabel was directed by Ricky Bird and Rachel Montgomery. The writers were Nicole Gay and then Ricky Bird as well. And you were in this film.
Right.
Now, what's awesome is that you look great in a uniform. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
So what character do you play in this? So you play Jake in this film.
Right.
What is your character, mm-hmm. and what is your plight?
Well, I'm pretty much just part of a gang. I'm just a scumbag, Jake the Snake, if you want to say, you know, that's an old cliche, Jake the Snake. Just a scumbag that's working with a couple of guys that, you know, they kidnap Mabel. And of course, Sean Piccinino plays the hero, and he's looking for Mabel. But my part. I enjoyed that. Now, for me to look that good, again, touching off on our special effects people, Nick Reisinger, he works for the industry, works on Grimm. And his artistry, to me, is second to none. If you've looked at our films and you notice, and Kelly Henderson, I don't want to forget her because she's fantastic. She actually
yes.
Made those uniforms, those clothes that we're wearing in the film. Kelly made those
really?
By hand. Yes. She made
wow.
those by hand. I went to the Ricky's apartment, and she took my measurements, and the clothes fit perfect. So, I mean, that's incredible.
It's
my
really
part,
beautiful.
I think
it's really
funnest.
Beautiful clothing. Go ahead.
It is. It's fantastic. Can you believe she made that?
Doesn't
thing?
It? I mean, the clothing fits very well. I mean, your colors are blue. You know, Ricky's are brown. DT's are mm-hmm. the reds, you know, the big red long johns. And then Sean has a
right,
classic
right.
brown with the light brown top. Those are really
right.
beautiful, you know, color pigments and what have you. So
right.
So you saw that, and she just made these costumes for you guys right off the cuff?
Right off the cuff. She took our measurements, and she went down, and she said, I'll be ready in a couple of weeks, and I think she called me once and said, "Hey, you're not as fat as this looks." And I said, "No." I said, "No, I can fit anywhere from this size to this size." And she said, "Well, I want to make it a little bit bigger." And it just seemed to fit. She just did a fantastic job, man. Kelly's great.
That's
so
awesome.
I play a bad guy in that. I think my favorite part, which Mabel will be coming out here shortly. Is my fight scene with Sean. I haven't even had a chance to even go over to Ricky's and look at that in editing, and I think that was a lot of fun. Sean beating the crap out of me as the hero. You know, I can't win that fight, so I knew that going in.
Fall down, fall down.
But yeah, fall down. And I tried to clear a spot for my eventual fall. And I failed to find there was a root from a tree and hit me right in the ribs. And I was hurting for about 2 weeks after that. So it was kind of like a real fight. If you've ever been in a real fight, you know, yourself, you know what fighting's all about, the industry you're in.
Yes.
I was bruised up, but a lot of fun.
You're a brave man. I'll tell you that much. So Mabel is your classic Western about a child being kidnapped and the good guy going right after him.
Right, right.
I love
it. Seen the trailer where Sean goes in and sits down and talks to the gentleman at the table. It's their daughter. It's the man's daughter. and she gets kidnapped, and Corshawn goes after her. It's kind of a classic Western thing with a few twists, but it is a short film. It's not a feature-length film. It's a short film, and I think the finished product is going to be outstanding. It's going to be well-received. I really do believe that. So, and
but,
by the way,
sir,
my
Sean
biggest part in any...
Go ahead. Continue.
Pardon?
Go ahead. Your biggest part?
That's probably my biggest part in the movie so far was Mabel, even though it being a short. I've done, like, say, 10 or 12, 14 and shorts and music videos and all kinds of different stuff, and that was definitely my biggest part so far. And I felt really, really honored that Ricky actually picked me for that part. I guess because I usually play, if you've noticed from my work, and my IMDb page is not updated. I messed with that.
No.
I usually play like a cop or a security guard or, you know, some kind of grizzled veteran, and I suppose that particular part was just perfect to me. Steve Wilson
is
the other actor beside me, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that you look great, and the only thing you really need is and I know the way you act. So the only thing you really need is a director to put you in the right direction.
Right.
You look fantastic in the film. I can't wait to see it. And I love you in the trailers. The film stars Sean Paul Piccinino. He plays Tom Landry. D.T. Carney plays Big John. John Ross Clark plays William. Ricky Bird plays Jebediah. By the way, Jebediah. Oh my God. Corey McBride plays Mabel Bedford, and Michael Gallen plays Jake. Steve Wilson plays Beauregard. Beauregard?
Beauregard. I don't recall what Steve's name was in the film. I'm not sure.
Wow.
I could be wrong
about
that.
That's a hefty. When I looked at Jebediah, I'm like, wow, that's the Hicks. But when I looked at Beauregard,
right.
I'm like, wow, you must have looked that up in the dictionary. That's a tough name. How was it like shooting a Western in a time like this, especially since you've seen such great Westerns come out, like by Clint Eastwood and what have you, that have just really blown the socks off of people? What is it about this short film that differentiates itself from the rest of the Westerns?
Well, I think maybe, of course, it's just my opinion. I think maybe that it is a short film and it gets right to the point. There's not a lot of, I mean, there is some dialogue. The other gentleman at the table with Sean is Russell Michael, which he owns California Studios in California City. And we actually did the film in honor of him. He's been having some health problems. And so we did the film in honor of him. And again, we get right to the point as a short film. There's none of this, riding through the, through the wilderness and all, whatever you do in a Western. It gets right down to the point, and I think that's going to differentiate. Did I say that right? No, I don't think I said that right.
yeah, they got it.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, it gets right to the point, and the story doesn't drag on. And there's no dead scenes. There's no, it's just boom, right in your face. And
really?
There's a fight scene, and there's a lot of gunfights, and it's fantastic. I think that's the difference. I've watched some Westerns.
You've watched
Westerns that...
Oh, yeah. Like 310 to Yuma and what have you. 310 to Yuma. When you start talking about... When I first saw this film, the first thing I thought was 310 to Yuma. I love the film a great deal. And it kind of reminded me of that tension. What I like about a Western being a short film is that Westerns have a tendency to be... I mean, if you took the cinematography out of Westerns, the movie would be 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. But usually you see like rolling, streaming shots of like rivers and bears and wilderness, and then you have 30 minutes of a movie. What I like about Westerns that are a little shorter is that, especially in today where kids, they look at it for nostalgia. They wouldn't have any idea. In their minds, almost a T-Rex lives in the Old West. So for a shorter film, I think it's good for this generation to kind of catch up to some things that we grew up in loving. Like, I'm pretty sure you grew up watching Loving Bonanza and things like that.
Oh, at my age, I watched that stuff. I was a big John Wayne fan. One of my favorite movies, I'm sure not a lot of people talk about it. They always talk about the Clint Eastwood Westerns. Jeremiah Johnson with Robert Redford. If you've seen movie, the cinematography is just amazing.
Yes.
But there's a lot of you know, like you say, there's a lot of dead parts in there where they're just kind of hacking around, and you know, it's an amazing movie, but it's, you know, I enjoy the short films, even though a lot of people probably would prefer feature films. I enjoy the short film because it does get right to the point. So.
Yes. Yes. I mean, a lot of times you don't want to, a lot of people don't want to invest the time anymore to sit inside of a theater and watch a 2-hour film. They almost want the crib notes. And what's great about a film like Mabel is that it almost opens up a door to another door. Whereas, you know, the Western gets a good hit, people like it, get a couple awards, then it turns into a feature-length film, maybe a different incarnation of that film. That's the great thing that I saw from a film like Mabel. So we started our film career, you know, a bit more mature in our existence compared to other people. Let's just say I'm an 18-year-old in you know, Virginia right now, and I want to come out to L.A. and I want to act. And I've seen other people start on movies and fail and leave and come back, and people disenchanted, leaving their states or countries. How could I be any different? How could I be any different than those people? What could I do to get in the industry, to keep a positive mind frame, to stay positive, to stay healthy? What should I do?
Well, I would say you got to come out with the attitude that you're gonna make it. In other words, everybody has that mindset. Oh, I'm gonna go out to Hollywood and be a movie star. Well, perseverance and dedication and a positive attitude needs to come first, in my opinion. You can't go out there and go on one audition and get turned down and go, oh, screw it, there's no way I'm gonna make it. A good example would be Guy Grundy. He comes from another country all the way to Hollywood, and look at his success. And maybe some of that success is based off his, you know, he's a 2-time Mr. Australia bodybuilder, and he probably had some credibility there because that, you know, if you don't follow that sport, you wouldn't know who he was. And, you know, he comes all the way here and does all these fantastic things in Hollywood. We've become pretty good friends. I've taken some advice on health issues from him and things like that. But his positive attitude was what I was getting at, and as with all the people that I know, D.T. Carney, Ricky Bird, I mean, all the actors, all the special effects people, most of the grit people. Now, through Hectic Films, we have some people that come and go, you know, that help, and I'm the only one that's left out of the original crew. I say original crew, you know, the past 7 or 8 years. But as an actor coming out, you just have to stay positive, and you can't get discouraged. Now, you know, we both know about Hollywood, you probably more than me. There's a lot of disappointment out there, a lot of disappointment. But a positive attitude would be my first and foremost thing. I would, of course, eat healthy, stay healthy. Don't go out and get drunk and then try to go to an audition, you know, the next morning when you're not prepared. Preparation is a big key. I've learned a lot of that stuff from D.T. Carney. He's the most prepared person as an actor that I've met, and I've met a lot. But his preparation, you know, we were on set, and I see him talking to himself, and I'm thinking, what the heck is he doing over there? And I'm kind of trying to eavesdrop on him, but not making it obvious. And he's going over his scenes in his head, and he's going over his lines. He doesn't even have the script in front of him. Once in a while, he'll pick it up.
Right.
And I noticed that, and I got a lot of inspiration from him. But he's so positive all the time on set. And if a guy's coming out from any part of the country, positive attitude, Steve.
Right. Right. You know, I agree. You know, there are a couple of people right now that I know that are so disenchanted, so disheartened by the Hollywood scene or the New York scene, or the media scene, really. You know, they leave the country or they leave the state, and they can't handle the rejection. But what's interesting to me is that it's not necessarily personal. It's the way it kind of works. And if you get discouraged along the way, I don't understand how you're going to handle many things in existence, because, you know, marriages are not easy. Relationships are not easy. Friendships are not easy. Work, business, careers are not easy. You know, when I look at Hectic Films of where we began, I mean, the lackey basically came out of the fact that Hectic Films was doing another film with Sean, and we had the cameras and the crew for a couple extra weeks, so we got to film the lackey. So that's a pretty amazing thing. And those things happen because Sean's a good guy. He knows how to communicate with human beings. Ricky Bird and Jason Sanders and Guy Grundy and D.T. Carney and all these guys came out, as well as yourself, and came out and showed your support and bullied through that thing, and it got made. And, you know, it really freaks me out when I see, especially writers or artists, especially when they're young, just become freaked out and can't think that they can't make it. Well, what would you say to that person? I mean, what can you possibly say to that person who's just so convinced that they can't make it? It almost feels like they feel like they're not worthy of the appreciation of the media industry.
Well,
what are your thoughts?
Boy, that's a pardon.
What are your thoughts on that?
What do I talk about? I'm sorry, I broke up a little bit.
What are your thoughts on like young and older people having this mindset of, you know, having one failure and then just blowing the whole industry off, the whole, because it's not a movie industry anymore. It's really a media industry because we have Netflix and Amazon Prime and Yahoo now, and everything's getting pushed towards Videorama and Netflix and all that stuff. So it's really just media. So what would you say to somebody, you know, who just says, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit right now. I don't think it's ever going to work out for me. I'm getting too old. I'm 34 already. I'm getting too old. You know, I'm going to move back to, like, Germany. What would you say to that person?
Well, I would first of all, before I would say anything, I would think that their heart's not in it, because if you come out with that, you know, you can't take things personal. You know as well as I do in Hollywood, it's a cruel place. It's a backstabbing place, and that's another thing that I want to touch on as far as Hectic Films and the people that I work with are extremely loyal, and that's where I stay where I'm at. But I would probably tell that person, is your heart in it? Do you want it? Right. I don't care how old you are. Look at me. I got into it late, and I just basically fell into it. I wasn't even looking for it. And I think that's what happens with a lot of people. They come out with these big dreams, and of course they should, especially young and naive. And they come out and they see all this money flying around with all the different actors. Well, those, you know, it reminds me of a football team. I know that sounds kind of weird and off the wall, but if you think about how many college players are out there right now, and they have NFL dreams. Well, there's only so many spots on a team. There's only so many spots as a starter in a football team. It's the same thing with acting. I mean, there's only so many spots. I know there's tons of shows, tons of movies, tons of commercials. There's all kinds of different, you know, aspects of the movie industry and the acting industry.
Right.
But there's only so many spots. And taking rejection is going to be a big part of it. And if your heart's not in it, there's no way you're going to make it. You have to be, again, touching back to positive and your heart in it.
Right.
You got to keep going. You can't take that personally. You know, you can't take that personally. You go and sit in front of an executive in an office and they say, well, you know, show me your gig. And blah, blah, blah. You know, they seem disinterested, like they're not even listening to you. You know, you can't take that personally.
Right.
It's like anything in life. You can't take it personally. Hey, you got rejected. I didn't make it. Okay, well, I'm going to look for it. Here's another audition. Here's another audition. Keep going and going and going. And, you know, if you feel at some point that, you know, life-wise that it's not working for you, well, then get out. But I would say if your heart's not in it, you can forget it. You can forget it.
Right.
That's my opinion.
It's very interesting. I see a lot of people who, you know, they say their heart is in the project or in the film industry. They get a shot and then they fall apart, mostly because of their expectations of where they should be in their existence. This is interesting to me. Whereas when I look at your career and I look at where I was at as well and where I'm at as well, which is you and I, we put on a lot of hats and we try to make ourselves useful in filmmaking. Do you find that helps you in a movie? Because it's got to be obviously useful for the director, the producers, the actors to see somebody so involved in the project that they wanted you to be an involved actor as well. Do you find that to be the case?
Well, I think so. I think so. And, you know, what's interesting about what I do as far as, you know, as we say, wearing the hats, if you're an actor, and you're on set, there's going to be hours and hours of downtime. Like, you know, the big actors have their trailers, and they go sit in the trailer, and then they get called, and they do 30 minutes of this, and they go sit for 8 hours. Well, that doesn't happen with a person like me, because there's so many things to do. I might have a part in the movie as far as an actor, but I'm so busy doing so many other things. I'm not sitting drinking a bottle of water, watching and going, you know, looking at my watch, going, man, this is, you know, I was only supposed to be out here for, you know, 3 hours, and here it's been 10 hours. Well, that's the way it goes, and I don't get bored because I do so many different things. As soon as I put the acting hat off, I go, you know, I go pick up the sound equipment and get it prepared, and here we go for the next scene. And I run out to where that scene is, you know, kick the machine on and do that. And then when that part's finished, I'll shut that off and, oh, well, let me go get my drill. I need to shore up this piece over here, or, you know, whatever, you know, set we're working on. There's so many different things for me to do. I never get bored, never get bored. And that's why I like doing what I do rather than just acting or, you know, I think to me that works for me. So
you're doing all these things. You have so many projects going on right now. You can't even talk about half of them. What do you see your career in about? Let's make it simple. 5 years. What do you want from this industry?
5 years. Well, as far as wanting anything, I don't really desire anything. I have a mindset, if it comes, it comes, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, say, take Naked Zombie Girl. That is blowing up pretty well. And unfortunately, I didn't get to go to Monsterpalooza on Friday night. My wife was sick, and I've been a little under the weather, not nearly what she was, but I decided not to go. And I was, you know, that's why I know that my heart is so in it, Steve, because it broke my heart not to support and represent. And if you ask anybody, I'm at every festival I can possibly be at. And I'm looking at the pictures on Facebook, and I'm just thinking to myself,
you're a huge supporter. Yeah. You're a huge supporter. When other people do not show up, you show up.
I'm always there. Unless of course, you know, I get sick, or there's things come up that you can't go to all of them.
Right.
But I think Naked Zombie Girl is one that we've done so many projects that I think in 5 years from now, that's still going to be relevant. You know, there's a lot of things in the works for Naked Zombie Girl and comic book, and, you know, I can't say everything, but that particular short film seems to be, you know how every person has their, you know, you would go through this, well, it's so popular, and this film's popular, and all of a sudden you hit on something, and it's such a simple thing. There's not a lot of dialogue. It just hit. You know, when you say, I'm sure the young guys out there, when you say naked and you say zombie, well, what are they going to think? Hell, I got to see this movie. Naked Zombie Girl, really, with a chainsaw. Oh, my God, I got to see that. Well, if you look at the popularity of it already, Steve, it's blowing up. And
that's nice.
Of course, everybody, it's a team effort, and that's another thing I always want to touch on when I speak to people about the things that we do. It's a team effort. Look at DT Carney, we call him Super Zombie. Amazing part and amazing makeup by Nick Reising.
Right.
Second to none, in my opinion, just as good as Walking Dead, or sometimes better if you look. And I'm not going to compare us to anybody or Nick to anybody.
Because Walking Dead sucks. I'm sorry. My friends want to keep me on The Walking Dead, and they caught me up. But I got to tell you, the reason why George Romero didn't want to do The Walking Dead, he said, this is not a zombie show. This is a drama with zombies in it.
Right.
And when I watch it, I'm like... Right. It reminds me of, like, African Americans inside of a horror film where they're like, don't do that. What are you going in that room for? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
When I watch The Walking Dead, I know exactly what they're doing and what they're talking about. I'm like, oh, that's what you're talking about. Now I don't feel so annoyed. No, these guys are annoying. So you got Naked Zombie Girl, and to me, that film looked more horrorish. That film looked more of a horror film. That's the kind of film I want to go watch.
Right.
If you put The Walking Dead in movie form, I wouldn't pay 15 $8 for that film. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'll pay $12 like to go see show. Naked Zombie Girl. I'm sure you do.
Well, let's hope everybody thinks the same way you do, right? But touching back on the five-year plan, go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
Touching back on the five-year plan, I think that I think that might be, and among other projects that we have coming up, I think that might be. I would like to see in 5 years. I would like to see a feature-length movie and a comic book, and become a become a franchise. I think that'd be really cool. So.
Nice. You know, it was really a pleasure, Todd. I wanted to have you on for a while now, and we got kind of compiled with a lot of guests, but I'm glad I had you on. You know, when I first met you for the Lackey film, I really liked you a great deal. We didn't get a chance to talk a lot. I am a bit of a shy human being, a little bit, mostly because it doesn't seem that way because I talk to a lot of people, but I am a little shy. But, you know, I really loved having you guys around and having Hectic Films support the Lackey and be there and be such cheerleaders. It gave me a great deal of respect for you guys and for your company and for what you guys do. And I'll always support your movies and your the people behind your projects, because you guys are such good people, nice people, and I enjoy your personalities. We've had drinks together. We've been to all these premieres together. I've really loved them a great deal. So I really appreciate you being on the show, and I can't wait to see Mabel and some more future projects that you can't talk about. Go ahead.
Really, really appreciate the kind words. But just that being said, the only reason I went to the Lackey at the festival was to meet Vernon Wells. So, you know. Just kidding.
Vernon
Love
Wells
you.
Is a
Love all of you.
That guy's a great personality.
Oh, man, I had a good time with him.
I went to go meet Vernon Wells. I remember I wanted to sit next to him and be a fanboy and just totally have him be, I've got an older fan next to me. It was the opposite. That guy just turned to me and started teasing me for literally half an hour before we became friends. I'm like, well, if Vernon Wells is teasing you, that's got to be fun. But no, it was great having you. And then when we have all these future films, I can't wait to see you guys again. I went to Phase 2 last year at the SoCal Film Festival and saw you guys, and I really enjoyed that. How can we reach you? Now, your IMDb page, now, boys and girls out there, I see the numbers of people who are listening, and we have a large amount of people listening right now, by the way, Mike.
Right.
You know, how can we find you? Your IMDb page is not caught up. So how can we catch
it's
up with you?
It's not caught up. Well, basically, you can follow our HecticFilms.com, Hectic Films on Facebook, through social media most of the time. I am going to work on my IMDb page. Some of the stuff that's not on there, it's just my laziness and not going after it. And that's my personality, Steve. That starlight doesn't appeal to me. I mean, of course, everybody wants to be loved and everybody wants to be talked about. I need to venture on and do the IMDb page. So you can follow me there. I have some credits, again, on there. But just basically through HecticFilms.com and follow what we do, and I'll be on there. And you can catch me at festivals. We got plenty of festivals coming up. And some of the ones that I can't go to, like Austin, you know, the Horror Fest and all, I won't be there. But I will be at, I still call it Grauman's Chinese Theater, October the 16th at 9:30 p.m. is the premiere of Naked Zombie Girl there. I shouldn't say
nice.
Premiere, but the showing of the movie. So you can catch
what,
me
what was,
there.
What was the date again? What was the date
October
again?
October the 16th.
Okay. So you'll be there right before Halloween. That's fantastic.
Right.
So you'll be
there
for October 16th. Okay.
And there's one in San Diego. I believe it's November 1st. I won't be at that one. I'll be in Miami watching the San Diego Chargers and the Miami Dolphins.
Oh,
at,
my gosh.
Sunlight Stadium. So I won't be able to make the San Diego Naked Zombie
Girl.
Lived in San Diego for years and years. I was born in Bakersfield. But lived most of my life here. I've lived in San Diego. I've lived in the Laughlin, Nevada. I've been all over the place. But
awesome.
Yeah, I'm back
I
in Bakersfield now, and it's it's not the mecca of the industry, but you know, it kind of, it's not bad, because Hectic Films is going to be the mecca of the industry here. I hope it goes there. And before I forget, may I go ahead and plug a couple people that need to be plugged?
Please, go plug them.
Number one, Megan Shadane. You see her. She's an up-and-comer, man. The star of Naked Zombie Girl. She's got some feature films coming out. Follow Megan. Just love her. Megan Shadane. She's the Naked Zombie Girl. That's who she is, and she might be identified by that for a while, but she's got a lot of other stuff going on, and she's just a wonderful, down-to-earth, Midwestern young lady, and we all love her. Secondly, I want to plug Robert Beale Photography. Like, if you see the stills from Mabel and those types of things, that's Robert Beale Photography. You can follow him. He does weddings. He does whatever you want. Of course, I've mentioned D.T. Carney a bunch of times, Ricky Bird Jr. Ricky's my hero because he's the one that let me in, so to speak, into the industry, and I've just had a blast ever since. Nick Reisinger, Kelly Henderson, of course, special effects. Jason Sanders does most of the editing. Wonderful, wonderful editing. Jason's just phenomenal. He also has a drive-in theater here in Bakersfield called Cinertain. You can check them out.
I saw
online.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when did you plug that? Because I really like that idea. Great deal. I was watching how they were making and trying to save that drive-up theater. Can you give us a little bit of an update of what's going on with that?
Sure. Basically what it is he's looking for a permanent location, from what I understand, to actually have a drive-in theater where you can drive into a, I think it's about a 6-acre lot that he needs. Him and his wife, Sagan, started this thing, and a couple of partners. Ricky's involved as well. They have a blow-up screen. I think it's like a 30-foot screen, and I helped out their very first night setting it up. And actually, I didn't set it up, but I helped them take it down. And it's amazing how this thing just—it's filled with air, like, you know, one of those things you see on top of a tax guy's roof, you know, that flops around. You fill it with air,
right?
Tie it down. It's like I think theirs is 30. They have a 40, and they have a big projector that they use. You know, as far as the films, it's a modern. Can't remember exactly the name of the projector. I think it's a Christie, I think. And they have a cart with, you know, that opens. They have snack bar, and they have the whole nine yards. But they're moving around right now. They did it at the Bakersfield Museum. And then they did it at a NASCAR racetrack locally here recently. And, you know, as far as the movies go, they show Back to the Future. And we showed, of course, with the Robin Williams thing, that they showed Hook. In honor of Robin Williams here a couple of weeks ago. But that's a big thing because there's no, you know, like people our age, I'm probably older than you, but the drive-in theater was big for me when I was a kid, man. There was like six of them here in town. You know, well, which one's showing what movie? Let's go and double feature. And, you know, after this time it's free and, you know, sneak everybody in. And of course, we went out there as teenagers and we were there, you know, we drank beer and, you know, we had a good time. And I don't recommend that, condone that to any young people. But that's what we did, and it does bring back a lot of memories.
Hey, boys and girls, if you can find a drive-through theater and you can drink beer at a drive-through theater, then go do it. Because good luck on that one, man. And that's like saying, please don't do heroin on the moon.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, you know, in those days it wasn't like it is now. In the 70s, it wasn't as harsh as it is now. You know, I don't condone any of that, of course. But you know, we did it. I'm not going to lie. And that's why we went.
No, we had fun. Hiding inside the trunk?
Sure.
You ever hide inside the trunk?
Ford station wagon. Had a 66 Ford station wagon with the back seat folded down, and you would think it's a spare tire area.
Yeah.
Well, it lifted, and
that
thing was about as big as a two-story house.
And then you had seats back there, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we did too.
Yep.
We're very close to being the same age. We had seats back there, and what's great is that you get to wave at people or flip them off in the back of seat. But what's really great,
right?
What's really awesome is I remember as a kid going through those drive-through theaters, we would hide to get a cheaper cost, mm-hmm. and they would look at us and go, your kids are going to come in for free. Just open up the don't suffocate your children.
Right,
and then we'd come out really fast. But that was a little later
on.
It's
like a buck a carload. We're sneaking all these people in. It's like a buck a carload. Why would we sneak everybody in? And for anybody that's going to do that, if you do find a drive-in, don't park that close to the snack bar because we got popped a couple of times and got kicked out. But otherwise.
Oh, really?
Okay, go in the back and unload them. Yeah, we got kicked out.
So we're gonna find you through IMDb. You're gonna catch up with your page. We're gonna find you on Facebook because we can find Michael Gowland on Facebook. Naked Zombie Girl, Mabel, and you talk about all the people in our lives, and really in a lot of our lives, which is Ricky Bird and Jason Sanders, Dee Dee Carney, Guy Grundy, Sean Paul Piccinino. We have all the boys there, Michael Gowland, your wife as well. We have all the people there that are just really great supporters, really great people, and I can only hope the best for Hectic Films and for yourself.
Thank you so much.
I can't say anything more than what I said. I've really enjoyed having you on the show, and I only hope the best for you. Hopefully you can come on really soon and give us more details on the future projects you're working on. Awesome.
Pardon?
Well, thank you, Michael. Have yourself a great weekend, and thank you for being on the show, and we'll have you on next time.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
All right,
I really appreciate it. Thanks for everybody listening. Great show.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Great Michael Gowland. Thank you, sir. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you, too. See you later, guys.
There you go, guys. Michael Gowland's a great guy, isn't he? What a great personality. I didn't want to have a long show today. I wanted to shorten it up just a tad bit. Not that I didn't have a lot to talk about with Michael Gowland. We could have talked for another 2 hours. I just don't think you guys would be very interested. I think short and sweet, small my feet sometimes is a darn good thing. What I like about Michael Gowland is that he's a very humble human being. And you start to see what the real L.A. attitude is like. Because people come from different states, and they think they know what the L.A. attitude is like New Mexico, Nebraska. And they think people from L.A. are snobs or they're indifferent. Well, indifferent is probably a good word. little apathetic, I think is. We see stars all the time. We go to dim sum and we see Willem Dafoe. It's just one of those things where you see things. It's only till people come from out of state do you start to get the weird energies, the weird feels, the weird perceptions, the weird attitudes. Out of country, out of state. The truth of the matter is that I don't think it's very difficult to be, in the movies or in media or any of those things. I don't think it's difficult to be president of the United States. I have a President Clinton whose first father died in a car accident and second father was an alcoholic and second father who was also an alcoholic who beat his mother and they lived in a trailer park and then he had a chance meeting with John F. Kennedy and later on became president of the United States. That's pretty incredible stuff. And that happened just because he had a forward mentality, just always push forward. And I think that's what Mike Gowland was trying to get at. He's trying to say, just keep on going, keep on pushing. If you don't, who will? Seriously. What a great conversation. I loved having those guys in Hectic Films, Guy Grundy and Jason Sanders and Sean Paul Piccinino and Joe DiPietro. Piccinino, all those guys. These guys were part of the group, part of the team that made Lackey the film. Watch Lackey the movie. You'll see all those guys throughout the entire film. They're fantastic actors. I can't wait to see their future. So I hope today was another positive show for you. We heard from the great Michael Gowland. Please watch him on IMDb. Get him on Facebook. I believe he has a Twitter page as well. G-A-L-L-A-N-D. His next movie will be Mabel. Mabel is in post-production right now, being edited. It's directed by Ricky Bird and Rachel Montgomery. The writers are Ricky Bird and Nicole Gay. Sir Sean Paul Piccinino, Dee Dee Carney, John Ross Clark, Corinne McBride, Michael Gowland, Steve Wilson, Russell Michael. There's a lot of people. I love the look of it. The people involved are just part of the excitement. But the film actually looks very good. I like it. I don't like to play games. I don't like to say I like something when I don't. I'm not a big fan of it. I usually be very, what's the word for it? Political. The only time I want to be political is when I just don't want to say anything nice or bad about a project. But Mabel looks great. Great guys. All right, everybody. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. Stay close to your family. Love them. 9/11 just passed by. And like I told my students, to me, 9/11 is more about family. So during your weekend, love your family, love yourself, and God bless you. See you next week.